Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From The Athletic, who spent some time with Jason in an Uber, as well as 32 other Browns beat reporters all crammed. It was like a clown car of Browns beat reporters, apparently. But Zach was all right. Zach, you were sitting in the front for this show, right?
Oh, I'm high society.
It was his Uber, so he called shotgun. Should we tell it real quick?
I mean, you're going to say who was on whose lap?
Well, so coming home from the game in Baltimore, I had the bright idea because traffic was jammed. We had a late flight Sunday after the game. I'm like, Zach, let's just take the train, man. Let's take the train. It's a straight shot to the airport. Unfortunately, the train stopped running to the airport, so...
If the train went anywhere, it would go to the airport. But like of any place.
On a Sunday night at like 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, there's not a clamoring of people to get to PWI Airport. So, and by this point, I had convinced, like we had convinced Dan Lobby and Mary Kay Cabot and Nate Ulrich and Daryl Ryder to come with us on the train. So now we're all going planes, trains, automobiles to get to the airport.
Yeah.
We had to get out a stop early, had to call an Uber. My Uber was not moving, so Zach calls an Uber. It was big enough for everybody, except the dude put the back seats down to put all the luggage up. So we had to fit five people in the back. I said it looked like Jeffrey Dahmer's freezer. There were body parts everywhere, all over the back seat.
Oh, my God.
So Mary Kay wound up, I think, on Daryl's lap, and there was just people strewn all about. And Zach had the front seat all to himself.
That's well done, Zach.
Veteran move.
Yeah, that's a good move by you.
Look, that's my shtick.
That's right. I'm not getting stuck in that back seat.
It was
a smart move. Yeah.
It was horrific.
Oof.
My body contorted in ways that it hasn't in 15 years.
I don't need this image of Daryl with Mary Kay sitting on his lap and all these people like piled all over each other.
Mary Kay had
Where was Shadell?
Jeff, you guys are going to get a lot of people in trouble.
Mary Kay had like a leg stretched over the console. Like it was crazy. Like,
oh
seriously,
my God. Body How parts long was everywhere. This ride? How long was it?
Well, we say, Zach, 8-10 minutes.
All right.
It felt like an hour.
Oh, man. That's a record breaker.
Zach
right there.
Is just laughing evilly right now.
Oh, man. Because he was comfortable in the front seat. Anyway, Zach, good stuff on the question and answer you did with the fans today. I read that article today, and obviously a lot of stuff about the coach. We've been talking about the coach for 3 months essentially, Zach, and you know, it's not new news to be talking about the coach here, but what's interesting this time, obviously, is unlike the past hires, this time the Browns' job seems to be in demand. And unlike the past, you think maybe if they hire the right guy here, then maybe we won't be doing this again for a long time, right?
Yeah, that's the goal. And, you know, that's why I think that Dorsey is willing to just explore every option, be patient, and let it play out because – I think he knows what he wants, and he wants an experienced head coach. You know, I think he understands the risk of breaking up the Kitchens-Mayfield connection. I think he understands the appeal of the job where he can get just about any candidate that's realistically available. So it's hard to say, and to me it's strange to say this has really been going on since October, and they don't have a favorite or they're not close, but, you know, through the whispers and the few tea leaves that John Dorsey's allowed us to read, it really feels like this is a patient, exhaustive coaching search. They're going to interview at least 4 more people, maybe 6 or 7 more people. And when the time is right, which 3 days or 3 weeks, we'll find out who the coach is going to be. I don't think there's going to be a clue leaked before then.
Zach, am I right or wrong? I think this is Matt Campbell's job if he wants it.
Wait, Dustin, you still work for the station? I haven't heard you since, like, Thanksgiving. This is Matt Campbell's job if he wants it. No, I don't believe that is 100% right. But I do believe if I had to turn in a list of 3 that I thought right now would eventually be introduced in that media room in Berea, Matt Campbell would be on it.
Top 3.
And who would be the other 2? McDaniels 1?
No, I don't think. I don't think he and Dorsey would ever intended to play nice together, so I don't think that's going to happen.
Okay.
I do have a thought that his campaign to go over GM's head and get to the ownership to get in the mix is probably not going to play well. So we'll see.
Interesting.
I think Dan Campbell's on that list. He has that little bit of head coaching experience. He has the former player Parcells pedigree. I think he makes sense as this thing goes on. And, you know, although I'm being really careful, I think what the Browns are doing with Freddie Kitchens is standard operating procedure. I mean, why would you let him out the door before you know? And then you can just let him out the door the moment you do know if he's not in the plans. But the fact that he hasn't interviewed yet and they're going to go through these other things, it tells me, and I kind of feel like I'm reaching here, but it tells me that he legitimately is in the mix.
Yeah.
Zach, interesting. And that's where I was going to go with you was the Freddie talk, because you and I were talking about this walking into the stadium in Baltimore, where I was telling you about what Albert Breer had said, that sometimes, like what the Rams did with Sean McVay, it's better to go early than late, take him a year before he's ready. And I thought you had a really salient point where you said, yeah, well, Sean was 29 and Freddie's what, like 44? So it's
right.
Freddie's not really as unknown of a quantity around the league as maybe we've portrayed him to be. Is that fair? Like, do you think a lot of people around the league know who he is? It's just he was kind of hidden here in Cleveland because he didn't start out as a coordinator.
Yeah, and he was hidden in Arizona because, you know, they went to the Super Bowl 11 years ago and they haven't really been very good since. They had a, you know, one brief run. So I think it's more with him is that he's just spent so little time at the front of the room. And when you're the head coach, you have to be at the front of every room. It's not just the special teams meeting room or the running backs meeting. It's all of that stuff that you have to be. So I think that's the concern with Freddie and with anybody. So if he does have outstanding qualities, and the Browns should know him. I mean, let's be honest, Freddie and Greg's interview should have been totally different than all of the rest of these. You know, you try to find those things out. I also think if they really thought he was the next Sean McVay, he'd have been hired on Monday. So
yeah,
we'll see.
True.
People keep telling me that Dorsey's going to value experience overall and that they'd be surprised if it's Matt Campbell or if it's Freddie Kitchens. But, you know, I don't see one candidate jump out. I don't see an A-list pool. And I see, you know, things that are pretty easy to connect with the three guys that I mentioned.
We're talking with Zach Jackson from The Athletic. Zach, you mentioned that Dorsey is aware of, you know, Baker's relationship here with Freddie Kitchens. And obviously you referenced the fact that they're not letting him interview. So do you believe in the end that the Browns are looking to hire the best coach or the best coach that will let Freddie Kitchens remain as OC?
Yeah, the best coach.
Okay.
The best coach. I think anybody but McDaniels would potentially keep Freddie on. Would
okay.
have that option, right? I think McDaniels would call his own place. But, yeah, I mean, this is such a unique situation with Greg, with Freddie, with Baker. You know, if Tyrod doesn't get hurt in that game, you know, maybe Hugh gets fired and Todd Haley's the interim coach. Right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
there's
true.
Just so much that happened, and the bar was so low with Hugh that I understand if Dorsey says, okay, this was great, let's proceed with a little bit of caution here based on what was going on. So, you know, Dorsey's going to be betting on himself in a couple of ways. One, to keep getting good players, which I think is more important than whoever you hire as coach, considering, you know, assuming you hire a competent coach. And two, that he's going to get the right guy. So, like I said, it's just everything that I've been able to dig up says that they started with almost 40 names, and as they whittled down those names and focused in on a couple, you know, categories, a couple traits that they really wanted to pursue, they still had in the double digits of guys that they were willing to talk to in some form or fashion and aren't going to be in a hurry with this.
Zach Jackson from The Athletic is our guest. Do you think Freddie Kitchens is happy with this, you know, being blocked from these other job interviews?
I don't know that it's a huge issue, Dustin, because anybody that really wants him, I think it'll still be there. And if he's not in the plans, they will release him that day, you know, as soon as it happens. So, no, I think, you know, he got a contract from the Browns last year to be running backs coach and associate head coach. He got an opportunity from the Browns to call plays. He obviously did well with it and boosted his resume and his future earnings and his profile and all of those things. And this is nature of the beast. So, yeah, I mean, is there a possibility someone wanted to hire Freddie yesterday or someone wanted to go in to a head coaching interview with another team, one of the other seven jobs that's open, and say, I'm bringing Freddie as my offensive coordinator? Sure, but that still could happen if it doesn't work out with the Browns, who have him under contract, and I think – I don't look at it as a negative. I look at it as just part of the business.
Is Adam Gase going to get an interview?
I don't think so. I don't know that for a fact. I've seen various things reported, and so far most of those things have been right this week that have come from NFL Network and other sources. But Gase and McDaniels are the two interesting names to start with because they have the experience that we believe Dorsey covets, and they've been involved in Brown searches multiple on some level before. So again, that's what someone pointed out to me this morning, is the McDaniels thing. Obviously, McDaniels likes Baker. Obviously, McDaniels, knowing he's on his last chance, would love it to be in Cleveland, where he's from, and all of these things. But it really gets sticky if the owner starts saying, let's interview these guys. And we know the most direct connection with Gase and the Browns is with the owner, not with the GM.
How confident are you, if at all, Zach, that the owner is letting John Dorsey do his job?
I'm very confident in that, okay. Adam. I really am. even before Dorsey said that on the record, even before it was hashed out by all of us over the last couple of months, I think, in December 2017 when Dorsey came here, it was with, whether this is in writing or not, it was with the understanding that he was going to run the football operation. He was going to get to bring on X amount of people and was going to have the most input in every football decision. And I think, honestly, part of this process is him doing future research for future decisions and him saying, we've got a chance for 3 or 5 years here to really build something. So I think that, obviously the owners are going to sign off. And obviously, if there's 8 or 9 people on the committee, which I believe it's somewhere close to that number, you're not going to have unanimous agreement. You're not going to have, people valuing the same things or seeing things the same way. But I just think all along it's been John Dorsey's voice is going to be the loudest in the situations where John wants it to be.
Good.
Zach Jackson's with us. Zach, yesterday Bull asked me if I thought it was a problem, like for Baker, all the antics and things like that, and if it could be down the road, right? I mean, if he gets too cocky, the Hugh Jackson stare downs and all these things, the whipping out his deal and all that stuff on the sidelines. Could it be a problem? Could it be a distraction eventually?
Could it? Sure. Have I rolled my eyes at Baker? Sure. He doesn't give a darn, though.
Yeah.
It's who he is. I said all along, the most important, this is before the rookie record and all this stuff, the most important thing about this year was that Baker was who they advertised him to be, right? The qualities off the field, the accuracy on it, the ability to raise the level of those around him. They knew that's what came with it. When Baker and John first talked last winter, John walked right up to him, nose to nose, and said, heard you like food trucks, right? They know Baker Mayfield inside and out, everything he's done, everything he is. This is the stuff that makes him tick. So do I think Baker should have stayed off Instagram that day? Yes. Do I think Baker could tone some things down? Yes. This is Baker, and he's got a chance to be the biggest Cleveland athlete or the biggest Browns player in a long, long time.
Last thing, Zach, when you look at the roster, we've talked about maybe getting a left tackle, another wide receiver, which won't be easy to do, another pass rusher, a D-tack, whatever it may be. What do you look as the biggest priorities in terms of combining free agency trades and the draft? Do you have something yet?
Yeah, pass rusher, big picture, is to me the biggest thing. So the run defense has been shaky. You have some young guys. Really, how often do you stop the run, right? You need to, but I think stopping the pass in today's NFL is a bigger priority. The receiving core is certainly better than it looked 2 months ago. Is it great? How many of those guys are going to be around for the long term? I don't know. And then history says if you need a good left tackle, you better take him early. So all those things are in play. But when you ask me the biggest priority, it's pass rusher, whether that's a true defensive end, an outside linebacker, however it is. And we don't even know what defensive scheme the Browns are going to be playing going forward. But that, to me, stands out above the others.
All right. Who you got this weekend in the games?
I like the Chargers. But I don't know anything about anything. Well, you know that.
I know you're excited when I talk about my fantasy team. I know you're excited when I talk about my fantasy team on the air there, Zach.
Everybody cares about your fantasy.
The most, Zach, if anybody knows us, if they were in our group chat with the sickos, all we want to know is who you taking, North Dakota State or Eastern Washington tomorrow?
Oh, wow. I don't know. I'm going to be at the UPG versus Penn State Barron game. I'm not sure I'm going to see. the Eastern Washington game.
You're out for that one.
You're out for that one.
All right, Zach. Good stuff, man.
Thanks,
all right,
guys.
We'll talk to you
see
soon.
You, Zach.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.